Hey, world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Oh, this is a cute song. I love this. Is this, what's this called?
Poison Ivy.
Yes, Poison Ivy. The minute do 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 do.
Where is it?
Poison Ivy. Every night. This is wonderful.
Margaret, I don't... You're singing it like... It's not an opera piece, you know?
I understand that. Do-do-do-do-do-do. I should put this in my Saturday night.
Are you still doing the gigs on Saturday night?
I am, for the most part, but I told Frank I didn't want to get booked into these toilet bowls, and I told him that, and...
Yeah, why is he doing it, then?
Because Frank owes people... Excuse me, I have to turn that fan off.
No, thank you for doing that, because I keep telling Bud.
Yeah, Bud, you got to turn the fan off, man. How many times I got to tell you?
I'm sorry, I was getting ready for the hour.
Getting ready for the hour, part of it is turning the fan off.
It's all right, I turned it off.
Now, what? Who is Frank? Frank's your husband. What's that got to do with Poison Ivy?
Nothing. Frank is her husband, and he books the gigs.
You're going to sing the song, all right.
Yes, I was thinking of it. Well, Frank owes a lot of people a lot of favors, so he books me into these toilet bowls, real dumps. But you know what? Somehow, week in, week out, I own the place. I don't care how many people are there. When we were at Testicles in the Harbor...
What the holy Jesus? What's the name of this place?
Testicles in the Harbor. Do you know where that is?
Yeah, I do. It's over in Marina Del Rey.
What is it called?
What, do you want me to say it again?
Testicles in the Harbor.
Yes.
And who named it that?
I don't know, Phil. Some slob. They thought it would be hip. They thought it would be edgy. By the time I get booked into the dump, there's two couples in there. There were two people. There was one man who looked like he hadn't ordered a drink in a few hours, but he looked very, very drunk. As I left that night, he was still there, asleep. It's exciting, but I thought I'd put into the set list for this week. I don't want to talk about these toilets that I'm booked into.
Bring talk, Testicle by the Harbor. I'm looking at it here. The guy's name is Don Testicular. And
give me that. What is this guy's name? Don Tesla is his name.
Yes.
So they call the place Testicle at the Harbor.
Yes, it's his nickname.
Yeah, they call him Don Testicle Tesla.
What is he, in the mafia or something?
Does that sound like a mafia nickname? Anybody give me a nickname like that and I'm in the mafia. And brother, they're wearing cement shoes by the spring thaw. And that's no crap.
All right.
So anyway, that's what I thought. And then I heard the song, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Excuse me, but I get very, very enthusiastic, and I break into dance and song.
Well, it's very nice, Margaret. I wish you the best. Phil Henry Show and...
What does that mean, you wish me the best? It sounds like I'm sitting on the last mile waiting to... Somebody playing a harmonica, and I'm waiting to go to the chair. What are you talking about?
Just because I said I wish you the best?
Yes.
Yeah, it almost sounds like she's on the last mile.
No, you're not on the last mile, Margaret. You're here. I'm sorry. I'm distracted. It's bloody hot in this studio, you know?
But anyway, I told you to get some central air.
Phil, why don't you spring for central air for God's sake already? Spring for some central air and live like a...
What, you going to say live like a white man?
I was going to say that, and then I saw your black face... And
God, everybody around here racist.
What do you mean live like a white man?
It's an old saying. I'm sorry.
No, well, it's not an old saying on this show, okay? How about, if you want to talk about live like a white man.
Yeah, I mean, on account of the humidity.
That mentions that I'm black doesn't mean I'm used to humidity.
All right. I'm going to get central air or some kind of a swamp. I just didn't think that I didn't think I would need it.
This is the fourth year you've been bellyaching about the heat in this sauna that you call a studio.
U.S. Senator John, how do you pronounce this guy's name? Cornyn? Cornyn?
I see. Cornyn.
Cornyn. U.S. Senator John Cornyn. The chamber's number two Republican avoided a runoff as he thwarted a Tea Party challenger and won more than 50% of the vote in today's Texas primary. Cornyn's nomination for a third term provides reassurance for business-oriented Republicans closely watching and in many cases investing in primary contests that pit party incumbents against candidates espousing the Tea Party's limited government creed. The Texas primary was... Yeah, but see, the Tea Party advocates a lot more than that. The Tea Party advocates like social conservatism and...
I thought those numbnuts were... Didn't those jackballs... I thought they were all about... what do you call it? You know?
About what?
I thought they were all about just the money.
No, the Tea Party is involved in a lot more than just money now.
Yeah, they're... I mean, I don't know. You know?
Well, the Tea Party is about, like, like Reagan, you know?
Yeah, that's Reagan. It's worse than Reagan.
Wait. The Tea Party is a limited government thing. Now, the rest of that stuff, like, for instance, the social conservatism you're talking about, I don't know where that came from. I think that's just... I don't think it's an official Tea Party thing.
Well, what is official?
There isn't any official Tea Party thing. You know, there's just the Tea Party.
No, that's jive ass. You can't go down to the river with a bucket and think you're going to pull that out of the lake. Forget it, friend.
What does that mean?
You know exactly what it means.
I don't know what you mean. Yes, I can. Look, it's not for me to define the Tea Party. My understanding of the Tea Party, when the Tea Party first started, was that it was a limited government, limited tax thing, okay? No government, no taxes. I mean, wherever government was rearing its ugly head, keep out. That much I can understand. Then, for some reason, it got into the social conservatism. But the thing that's confused me about them, and I think it's confused a lot of people, what's that got to do with Medicare, you know?
What do you mean?
Because a lot of Tea Party people are into Medicare.
Well, I think they believe that what exists right now is good enough. And to keep that, but don't make it worse.
And, okay, so they think the whole...
They think the whole Obamacare thing makes the Medicare thing much worse.
Okay, because they were talking about how they didn't want to lose it.
What are you talking about? The Tea Party is about as... They're nuts. They're out of their minds.
All right, well, let me get... I haven't talked to Professor Emery Clayton in a long, long time here on the Phil Hendry Show. Professor Emery Clayton is going to join us here from L.A. Canyon College in northern L.A. County. Always good to talk to the professor where he holds forth with his urban studies class and history classes. Professor, how are you?
Good evening, Phil. How are you?
Good. So how do you define the Tea Party?
How do I define the Tea Party? I think that's the $64,000 question, my friend. How I define the Tea Party... And what I think the Tea Party is probably doesn't make much difference to the Tea Party, because they would tell me that that's an inexactitude. Most likely I'm wrong. But I will tell you...
Take a stab at it, Professor.
All right, well, I'll take a stab at it. I will tell you that I think the Tea Party is a reactionary, right-wing resurgence and resurrection of the racist... And fascist ideology of the John Birch Society. I think that there is no difference between today's Tea Party and the right-wing fascist John Birch Society that I have seen evidence everywhere. Now, you can say they're about limited government, but what that means is that's limited government means limited support for human rights. That's limited support for the Constitution. That's a limited support for people. That's limited support for freedom. Limited support for America and limited support for the flag. That's what they're talking about when they say limited government. Because the only thing that stands between you and me and the resumption of a monarchy or other totalitarian form of government is the government itself, the United States of America, the Constitution itself, the United States of America.
All right, but wouldn't a Tea Party person say to you, no, we are...
Well, first of all, Phil, I'm not going to meet anybody in the Tea Party that has anywhere near the brains you have. So you taking the side of the Tea Party, that's the best advocate they could possibly have, because you're about the smartest person that I would say I'd talk to taking a Tea Party stance.
Well, I'm not a Tea Party advocate.
No, I understand that, but right now you're playing devil's advocate, right?
Well, what I'm doing is just asking if I were a Tea Party person, okay?
I guarantee you there's no one in the Tea Party that has anywhere near the brains you have, all right? So right now we're in fantasy land. Right now we're way, way out there, all right? We're on a Dumbo ride. You know what I mean by the Dumbo ride? We're on a Dumbo ride.
What are we talking about, the Dumbo? Where are we now?
What I'm saying, General, is we're out in fantasy land. We're on the Dumbo ride in fantasy land. What Phil's saying here, the Tea Party,
Phil didn't say he's in the Tea Party.
I know he said he's not in the Tea Party, but if he's asking a question as a Tea Party member, if he's pretended to be in the Tea Party, we're still out on Dumbo. We're on the furthest edge of Dumbo. You understand what I'm saying?
No, now you've lost me.
In other words, it's a fantasy.
Yes, it's not only a fantasy, but we are on whatever ride there is in Fantasyland that skirts the very edge of Fantasyland and is almost in the parking lot. That's what I'm trying to say. Because when you're talking about the Tea Party, you have to use these kinds of extreme examples. Now, Phil said he wants to ask me a question. I said, that's fine. I said, I'd like to answer a question of you taking the part of a Tea Party person, because you're about the smartest individual I will ever speak to when it comes to answering a question on behalf of the Tea Party.
All right, let me ask the question.
Go ahead.
If I were in the Tea Party, I would say to you the following. I would say, well, you are not quite right, because all the Tea Party represents is support of the Constitution. And supporting the Constitution means, in essence, supporting people, not government.
Well, and I would say that Constitution has certain rights enumerated. And if the government does not ensure those rights, who does? You know?
Well, the states.
The states? See, then we get back in this conversation about the states. Last time somebody told me about the states and ensuring constitutional rights, you're pulling three dead bodies out of a mud pile, three civil rights workers out of a mud pile in Mississippi back in the early 60s. That's what you get when you get rights down in Mississippi and places like that when they were fighting for civil rights. Now, I understand that we are not in those days any longer. I understand that America's moved on, or so they tell me. That's fine. But we are still having difficulty registering people to vote because states are now getting into that business of limited people voting. We're still having a hard time ensuring the right of women to choose because states are getting into that mess. We're still having a hard time ensuring the rights of minorities when it comes to blue lining of mortgages, when it comes to ensuring education and so forth. And so I just heard a voice.
Yeah, that's Nikki. I got to take a break, okay?
Thank God, because I heard a voice. And I have been hearing things lately. I don't want to get into.
All right. So you talked to him?
Yeah, we'll be right back, Professor.
All right, we're going to be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Sorry, we got a little, it's always interesting talking to the professor. There's no question about it. Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Back in just a moment. Hey, all right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, like you expected the break to end.
I did. I'm cool, you know. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, online at philhenryshow.com. You can listen live, mobile, or on your desktop. Tune in. Listen live, mobile, or your desktop. It's the new thing. All right, so we have Professor Emery Clayton with us. I don't mean to come on sounding all, you know, all urban, Professor. I realize it's a little disrespectful.
Well, I know also, Phil, that you're a humorist. You're a satirist, so I don't take too much of it personal, but I don't want any white man, and you know how I feel about this. I respect you, but no white man is going to engage in a conversation or give and take with me where he tried to be cool, you know, and tried to darken the color of his skin before my very eyes. Look, you're white. You're always going
to
be white.
And I'm not trying to be black. I was joking around.
No, I understand that about you. I also recognize very readily when a white man or white woman are trying to play cornbread on me. You know, they're trying to go cornbread on me. You know what I mean by that?
Trying to be black?
Yeah, they're trying to be black, trying to be down home. You know, I don't have any time, and I'll tell you this. This is for your ears and for your listeners. I have no time with some of these blacks. Get up in front of, for instance, Christmas time, I was in St. Paul, Minnesota, and I saw a very good a musical group, and I've enjoyed them down to the years. I don't want to mention the name of the group, but they're local to the St. Paul area. They're the Steels.
But you didn't want to mention them.
Well, I mentioned them. Yeah, I did not want to mention them, but now I have to mention them. Otherwise, people are going to think I'm lying. I think they're wonderful. I think Javetta Steele, you know Margaret.
Javetta Steele has one of the most beautiful voices I've ever heard.
Is she the one that sang Calling You?
Yeah, she sang Calling You from Baghdad Cafe, yeah.
She's got a beautiful voice.
Yeah, but there they were on stage to a predominantly white audience. And what do you think they did? Three guesses.
They went all cornbread.
Yeah, you got it right there, Dickman. They went cornbread on me. They went cornbread on me. you know.
Well, what do you mean they went cornbread on you?
Just what I said, General. Just what I said. Here I got a beautiful black family. They're singing beautiful songs. They sang Christmas songs. They sang beautiful songs. The whole show was wonderful. Everyone just, and they had to go cornbread on me. Oh, yeah, you know, y'all come down, and we are going to have a great cornbread Christmas, all this mess, you know. I said, what, I'm going to go down to your house, and what y'all going to be doing, tap dancing for all the white people coming to the door? And one of them said to me, man, you know, it's a good thing it's Christmas, because, brother, I'd be all over you like white on rice. And I said, yeah, you and what, yeah, you know, you and what army? And
what are you talking about?
Well, this is an imaginary discussion I had with him after I thought that. So I was going back to the car, and I was thinking of what I would have said to them, and then I was thinking about what they would have said back to me, and we had a hell of an argument.
Wow. You know something, Professor? I think you're spending way too much time with the books. I think you need a long vacation on a beach. Maybe drink some of those coconut drinks. You ever had one of those?
I don't need a coconut drink, General. Thank you very much. You know, one thing about the military, I will call on y'all when I need to kick some ass, all right? But culturally, I don't need any advice. You telling me, a black man, I got to go climb a tree for a coconut, stick a straw in it.
I don't mean anything like that. I said you need a vacation. It doesn't have to be a coconut drink. You can get yourself, just get yourself a drink.
Well.
He's not talking about you climbing a tree for a coconut.
No, that's not what he meant. But what I'm trying to say is the military's for kicking ass, not for telling me to go shimmy up a tree, grab myself a coconut with my feet, which I'm sure that's what you meant, right?
I didn't mean get a coconut with your feet. What are you talking? How can you do that?
You've never seen a man get a coconut with his feet. Okay, that's it.
Phil, he hung up on you.
Yeah, of course he did. That's Professor Clayton. He always hangs up. That's the funniest thing ever.
What are you laughing about?
What's not to laugh, man? Have you ever seen a cat get a coconut with his feet?
Well, that guy is trying to say that I would have recommended he, a black man, shimmy a coconut tree.
Well, you know, Professor Clayton is extremely, he's a guy, he's touchy, you know. He's a militant. I mean, I he's an old school militant, okay?
Well, if you're telling me he's like that Jeremiah Wright, I've got no use for people like that.
Professor Clayton is a very good man. He's an educated man.
No, he didn't mean you. He's on the phone.
Hey, Professor Clayton, nobody was talking about you shimmying up a tree.
No, but I wanted an answer to my question. I'm sorry I hung up, but I got to get an answer. Have you ever seen a man get a coconut with...
Well, was he laughing?
I think he was, yeah.
Oh, so he's laughing, and I'm sitting here feeling... I'm sitting here feeling like I just fell in a cow patty. But he's laughing. Boy, that's rotten. That's rotten to the core. That's Krabby Appleton rotten to the core. I'm getting a yoo-hoo.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, my God, that sounded like a wet fart.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Was it?
No, it was me going with my mouth.
Oh, but thank God.
Will you go get a yoo-hoo with the... What?
Well, what is he talking about? I don't understand what the laugh was.
I don't know. He said that it's offensive, him drinking a coconut drink, because he thinks that somebody's going to make him go up a tree and get it with his feet. I don't know. You know, I don't drink coconut drinks. I don't like coconut drinks.
Well, you don't like coconut drinks, Pacific?
No, I don't like coconut drinks. I like coconut soft drinks. I like to drink, sometimes if there's a coconut-flavored whatever the hell, sure, you know, I'll try it. But coconut in a booze drink? Forget it. No way.
Well, what are you talking about, Phil? If you're laying on the beach in Hawaii...
I don't care where I am. I don't want any of that. I don't like it. I can't take it. I hate it. I hate that crap. You know what I'm saying? I just don't like it.
Well, what do you drink?
You know what I drink. I drink tequila.
Don't you drink anything that's got any fruit flavoring in it?
Yeah, I drink a 7-Up.
No, booze.
Talk about booze, Ren. You ever do that?
I mean, what do I drink? Margarita, you know.
Not a margarita. Don't you ever have a nice, refreshing coconut drink?
No, I don't. I don't. I guess I'm just a very simple guy. I have a margarita, and then occasionally, what is that thing? What do they call that, General? The Mai Tai? Is that what it is?
What's a Mai Tai?
Well, what's in a Mai Tai?
I don't know what's in a Mai Tai. What, is it gin or vodka or something?
I think vodka's in it.
No, I don't drink that crap. I don't drink vodka. I can't stand vodka. I can't stand it. That's blackout time for me, man.
Blackout? You mean you run a guy down and not even remember about it?
No, I stay away from vodka. I can't take it. I don't like it. Say that again, Nikki?
Mai Tais have rum.
Rum? Rum ain't bad, you know.
Well, do you drink rum straight or do you have it with fruit?
30 seconds.
No one drinks rum straight. Only a guy that's on a suicide watch would drink rum straight. You have to have it with a fruit.
There's
what are you laughing
curacao.
At?
Curacao.
It's what?
There's usually curacao. Lime.
What's curacao? Oh, lime?
You didn't drink it with a fruit. What's that mean?
I don't mean you have to drink it with a homosexual. You know something, Dickman? You're the stupidest ass.
You drink it with a fruit drink,
five,
man. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
With a homosexual. So she's laughing at you.
No, just hold on for a minute. Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Welcome back here.
Oh, Mike, is this the Clint Eastwood? Oh, I love this. Do-do-do-do-do. This is very mysterious. Is this Deadpool?
No.
What a mental case you are.
Why am I a mental case?
Yeah, Mr. Jenny, you said it like the Elephant Man.
You did, Phil.
What do you mean I said it like the Elephant Man?
You just said no like an Elephant Man.
I'm asking you if this is Deadpool.
No, it's not Deadpool. It's Hang 'em High.
Oh, well, excuse me. I don't have the Clint Eastwood filmography tattooed on my butt.
Where are you going?
I'm going to the bathroom.
Phil Hendry Show, welcome. Yeah, that's Hang 'em High.
Well, what are you getting all bent out of shape about?
I'm not getting bent out of shape about anything. Margaret's all, is this Deadpool? And I was laughing.
What's so funny about that?
It ain't Deadpool. It's funny to me. You know, that's a Western, Hang 'em High.
Is that Batman son of Hang 'em High is the one where he's in Coogan's Bluff?
No, that would be Coogan's Bluff, man. Hang 'em High is a different one.
What's that one?
Which one?
Coogan's Bluff.
Coogan's Bluff is about a cop.
Well, that's Hang 'em High, though.
No, it ain't Hang 'em. Are you going to let me say which is which?
I'm in the bathroom, please.
Okay, she need toilet paper?
Yeah, you're in the bathroom, so what?
Toilet paper. And I can hear the laughter.
God.
Hey, Margaret, why don't you take a roll of toilet paper in there with you?
What?
Why don't you take a roll of toilet paper in there with you?
What?
She's saying that on purpose, just... Anyway, welcome back here to the Phil Hendry Show and Phil Hendry Show.
I'm back. So you were laughing about what?
Am I going to be allowed to explain what I was laughing about?
Phil, that beret on your head is beginning to look like somebody pumped it full of air and then let the air out.
Yeah, it looks kind of jacked up.
Well, it's going to be staying on top of my head. We got a half hour left to go. What's the story?
The story is simply this. Someone asked you about Coogan's Bluff. What is Coogan's Bluff?
It's a movie.
Well, what about it?
I don't know. You guys were talking about Hang 'em High. You wanted to know if it was Deadpool.
Yeah, and you got upset with that.
No, I didn't get upset. I was laughing. And then you guys said I was laughing like the Elephant Man for some reason.
No, you go like this. See, the Elephant Man, he would talk like this.
Yeah, that's exactly what he'd do.
Don't make fun of the Elephant Man, okay? That's really beneath you, bud.
But the Elephant Man's not even here no more.
I don't care if he ain't here no more. That was a very unfortunate soul, that man. Now, what about it? Coogan's Bluff was, it was a movie about a cop from Arizona. You really want to know?
Yes.
Coogan's Bluff was, Clint Eastwood was a cop from Arizona, and he went to New York to get a suspect who'd escaped custody in Arizona and was on his way to get this guy and bring him back to Arizona and his adventures in New York as this, you know, it's a classic Clint Eastwood film. He's going against, he's the loner in a strange town, going in to set things straight, to set things right, get a little justice, go get the bad guy, and he's running up against all of the strange people and the norms of a very foreign place. So in this case, it's New York City. I mean, what could be better? He walks into town with his cowboy boots and his cowboy hat.
Is that the one where he goes into the precinct house and there's two gays, right?
Yeah, and they make the crack.
Yeah, oh, get him in 3-inch heels.
Yes.
That's... Oh, boy. So that takes a lot of guts to put that into a movie, doesn't it, back then?
I don't know. It's a pretty good flick. Lee J. Cobb is in it. He plays the New York cop that Eastwood's Arizona deputy sheriff has to deal with. And Lee J. Cobb keeps trying to tell Clint Eastwood's character the rules of the road in New York. And, of course, Clint never quite gets it. And he keeps, You know, he goes into a pool hall at one point in the movie and breaks everybody's head with pool cues. And eventually he does get the guy and takes him back to... Interesting shot in that movie. The Pan Am building, and I don't know what the Pan Am building is now, but isn't it at the end of...
Well, it's down Park Avenue. It's on Park Avenue, I think. It's still there, obviously. You're not going to tear down the Pan Am building.
Yeah, but the Pan Am building then, you could go to the top of the Pan Am building and get a helicopter to Kennedy.
Yes.
And so, you know, I don't know if you were in a hotel or whatever, you had a ticket on a Pan Am flight, you could take the Pan Am helicopter to Kennedy Airport and then get off the helicopter and go on the jet.
No, that's too nerve-wracking for me. I couldn't do that.
Why not?
If I'm going to be flying on a jet, I want to stay on the ground as long as I can.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, General.
You know, I don't need any more of that.
Yeah, that's too much flying around, man. You know, it's like, whoa. And going up at the top of that building, in that film, you see that shot. It's a breathtaking shot of the helicopter taking off from the top of the Pan Am building and then flying on to Kennedy. But it's just, I agree with the general. It's like too much, I'm up in the air too much.
Well, so Clint Eastwood is taking the guy back to the jail.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood takes this guy and then hang him high.
Well, I didn't ask you about hang him high.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What's Hang 'Em High about?
You saw Hang 'Em High, didn't you?
No, I saw the Clint Eastwood movies that I saw were the ones I enjoyed very thoroughly. The good, the bad, and the... What do they call it?
Oh, that's the good, the bad, and the ugly.
What is it? The good, bad?
Good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, there you go. The good, the bad, and the ugly. God, I love that so very dearly. And then the Fistful of Something, and you can imagine what that is. And then another fist. They have these movies about a fist. I would love... How the hell did they get that made in those days?
Yeah, it is kind of weird.
What are you talking about?
Well, you guys are... They're not talking about that kind of fist.
Oh, my God.
Well...
What do you mean, oh, my God, Margaret? You got... It's the 1960s, and there's Eastwood talking about a fist that he's got a...
They're not talking about a fist. A fist full of dollars, meaning he's got money.
Well, what was the other fist movie?
There wasn't another fist movie. The other one was A Few Dollars More.
Yeah, I'll bet it was.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, would you stop?
Well, how did they get away with that?
Because back then, nobody was thinking in those terms. Nobody's thinking about that kind of filth. Fistful of dollars meant for a, you know, they had a handful of dollars. This guy was a hired gun. In Fistful of Dollars, he was a hired gun. And he was being hired by one family, then the other, wasn't he? He was playing both sides against the middle. It was a blood feud between these two families. Wasn't that what that was?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
And, it's a hell of a movie. It's a great... That's the movie. That's the classic movie where he says, you're going to need four coffins.
Oh, yeah, I love that. Where the mule, my mule don't like it.
Exactly. That's one of the greatest things that's ever happened in the history of movies. You see, my mule don't get it. That was great.
What are you talking about, the mule?
Look, man, I'm not going to explain all this stuff. Just go see the movie, okay? It's a great scene. All right, Phil Henry Show and Phil... What are you looking at, bud?
Man, I want to know what it's about.
Oh, quit your bawling. Faking it.
You are faking it, bud. Just like when you go, ow.
Well.
The whole thing with the mule is the guys were laughing at him, and Eastwood comes back, and he says, my mule don't get it, and he shoots them all. There. You happy?
Yeah.
All right, because that's pretty much what happens in those Clint Eastwood movies. What else? Do you want to know about the Ukraine? I don't really want to know about the Ukraine. A quick reminder, as we have mentioned throughout the show, I want to continue to remind you that on the 17th of March is when we begin the new Phil Henry Show, a digital online show that you can listen to live, mobile, or your desktop here at philhenryshow.com, or listen to live, mobile, or your desktop at TuneIn. We will have a podcast of that show each and every day, posted the same day within an hour of the end of the show. So we'll start at 9 a.m. The show will go to the very latest 11. It'll generally be about a 90-minute to a two-hour show. And then it will be posted within an hour, maybe two, of the end of the broadcast. So podcast the same day. It will be on iTunes for 5 days.
So this will be a free offering for 5 days?
Yes. The podcast of each show will be available free for 5 days and then goes behind the paywall on that sixth day. Now, Bobby Dooley's podcast featuring forthcoming the Sklar Brothers and the Frank Gray podcast and the Steve Bozell Injustice Files. All of those are going to be incorporated into the new Phil Hendry Show commencing on March 17th. So all of those little podcasts will be there as well, as we're trying to kind of organize things, because we got a million and one different podcasts out there, and we just want to...
Now, why do you have a picture of Timothy Leary there?
I don't know. We got into a conversation about Timothy Leary and Eldridge Cleaver at some point in the show tonight, off the air. I have no idea, other than the fact that I read both their books. I read Timothy Leary's biography, which is called Flashback, and I read Eldridge Cleaver's biography called Soul on Ice, only because I'm a biography fan and I'm a true story fan. But the one that I'm reading now is way out there. I'm going to tell you guys about this book, and I'm not going to get too heavy into it, but I found this thing by accident. I was looking for something else, and I found this book by accident. It is the story of a reclusive millionairess, a woman with probably billions, who I believe is no longer alive, but lived up until very recently, past the age of 100. Her family goes back to the very beginnings of this country. In other words, it's a story that spans from a log cabin in Pennsylvania to a penthouse post 9/11. This is a woman whose lifespan incorporated witnessing the 9/11 terror attacks and having a ticket for the Titanic. She never got on the ship.
You're kidding.
No. The last name is Clark. She's got a very unusual first name. The book is out. It's been out for a while. I'm going to read it. I'm going to report to you guys on it. I'll post it online at some point, either on our website or on Facebook, but I'm really looking forward to this thing.
What? She had a ticket on the Titanic.
Yeah. So she must have been, I believe that she was old enough to be not just a baby, but I believe that she was at least a child and was supposed to be on the Titanic and never got on this ship. And she now, a very, very elderly woman, saw from her penthouse the panic in the streets of New York following the attacks of 9/11. Can you imagine your life spanning all of that history? It's crazy, man. It's crazy. And her family, well-known, very rich, and deep, deep roots in this country. All right, we'll be right back on the Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, for our final segment and like that. So stick around. Lots more where all of that stuff come from. Check out our online store, too, by the way, the Je T'aime Lingerie Rudy Canosa La La Lovely Pink Ladies Tee is in stock, ladies. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. I found this book. It's called Empty Mansions. Bill Dedman wrote it, the winner of the Pulitzer Prize, and Paul Clark Newell, Jr. This is amazing. It's the story of, I don't know how you pronounce this.
Let me see this, because I'm familiar with these things. Huguette, H-U-G-U-E-T-T-E. Is her first name Huguet or Huguet Clark? Now,
how do you know that's right, Margaret?
Because I said it's right. That good enough for you? Anybody else? You?
Well, Margaret, you don't have to back us up.
God, man.
Well, I don't like you guys giving me this song and a dance. Huguet Clark. And she was a very, very wealthy woman. She took the family's money and just peed it away, if you'll pardon the expression.
What do you mean?
I mean, she took a lot of money and spent it willy-nilly.
Really? This book, I don't know why. I know why it fascinated me, because it purported to be a book about a family whose life, the family's life, goes to the very beginnings of the country. I'm really fascinated by families like that, and I'm fascinated by especially these prominent families. You know, the Astors.
The Astors, that's a family of some of the biggest horses' asses you've ever met. But, by the same token, some of the most generous. I knew an awful lot of the Astors. I knew Clarence Astor. I knew Frank. Frank's my husband. Frank knew Clarence Astor. Genevieve, Astor, Marvin, Melvin.
Well, who are these people?
Who are these people? The Astors.
Melvin Astor.
Yes, Melvin Astor. What is with you?
Well, Margaret, just because they got the last name.
What about Mary Astor? What about her?
What about my Astor? How about that?
Hey, watch it, will you?
Well, I'm getting sick of this.
Hey, Margaret, you know something? You ought to quit making things up.
I'm not making anything up, you freak. I'm telling you right now.
Wait a minute. Don't call the general a freak.
No, no. It's all right. It's okay. Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous.
You want a piece of me?
Hey, Margaret, I'm going to fire you in 30 seconds if you don't sit down.
All right.
God, what is with you guys?
I didn't do anything. All I did was I asked her about this Astor, Melvin, Marvin. I don't know who they are.
You know full well that Mary Astor is not an Astor.
I don't know who the hell she is. I know she's she was an actress, right?
She's an actress that had some name and she changed it to Astor. I don't know who Melvin Astor is either.
Well, now you know. I know Melvin Astor. I know Melvin Astor.
Is he an Astor?
Do you want to start this all over again, Phil?
All right, so he's an Astor.
Yes, and the Astors, their roots go back years in this country. Old Man Astor, as you know, Phil, was a fur trader.
Yeah, the Astors were fur traders, and then...
And then real estate. And very, very sharp real estate cookies they were. The old man, Jacob Astor, bought up real estate there on the lower east side of New York, along where the old docks were, and the Bowery and so forth. And then that's where they made their money.
Well, he was a furrier, and this is back when trading furs was a big deal in this country. It's funny to think on times when there were certain commodities that fetched an enormous amount of money, and these were times, the early 19th century, where furs were, they were it, man. And that's where you made a lot of money, if you were a fur trader and a fur seller, and I suppose if you were a fur trapper, you made a fair amount of money. Obviously, that has fallen from favor because of our concern for the endangered critters of the world.
Yeah, but people are still wearing furs and everything. Like, my grandmother, she had a fur. She thought to do everything like that.
Yeah, well, what kind of fur?
Well, I mean, in what sense do you mean it?
What do you mean, in what sense?
Why don't you clean your act up, bud?
She had a mink stole. And
yeah, mink stoles were big time, man.
Sable stoles were very, very expensive. Used to be a sign of great wealth if you had a mink stole or a sable stole.
Yeah, but not anymore. People don't like to wear those, you know.
What about Kim Kardashian?
What about Kim Kardashian? She's a big tub of guts that'll walk around with a dead man's flesh on her if he's...
God, Margaret.
Well, she does.
Well, this Kim Kardashian, is she the one with the big ass?
Yes, that's the one.
As she walks around with those furs on, I think I saw somebody dump paint on her or some damn thing.
No, there was a lady that dumped some powder on her or something. I don't know what it was, but I don't know. It's hard for me to read the Kardashians. There's no question that they are a version of American royalty. Wouldn't you say that?
Well, I think they are, but this woman, the mother, Kris. She's at nightclubs. I don't like the idea of that old bag hanging out at nightclubs, you know?
Yeah, she's younger than you.
Let me tell you something, bud, before I reach over there and take your face off. I don't hang out in nightclubs either. I have a husband and a son. If I wanted to go out and I wanted to trip the light fantastic and have a cocktail or three, I would. But I'm not hanging around some of these clubs where the 20-something kids go, like I'm some old, dirty, vodka-soaked floozy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Boy, you just... I'm telling you.
Margaret, you just took the measure of that woman.
That was pretty cruel.
What's cruel about that?
Would you get over here? Where are you going?
You mind me going and taking a dump?
God! She's getting more and more loose, and...
Margaret, you can't talk that way just on account of me going on the 17th.
What?
She's getting really vile, man.
You're not even watching your language anymore.
Everybody else gets to talk that way. Any toilet paper? Oh, you brought it in. Thank you.
How many dumps does she take in the show?
Probably about, I don't know, 3 or 4.
This is my second.
God. All right, so, well, there you go. I mean, yeah, but the furry thing...
Talking about the Astor.
Yeah, that guy, old man Astor, he was afraid. Then they bought the real estate up. Now, the Vanderbilts, I saw this thing on the tube the other night. It was really good, man. The men who build America. Did you see this?
That's the five guys. Who are the five guys?
I can't remember now, but it was Vanderbilt, Rockefeller, J.P. Morgan. God, man. And I know there's people out there right now going, Phil, it's this one. It was J.P. Morgan. Carnegie, if I'm not mistaken. And there was one more. But each man represented a different industry. And the Vanderbilts were shipping, obviously, the Commodore. The Rockefellers were big into railroads and then oil. Carnegie and Morgan, they had their thing going on. It might have been banking, but it's truly a fantastic story. If you want to learn about this country, it's important to obviously learn the story of the political history of the country is very, very important. But it's even more important and probably more fascinating to read about the industry, the fortunes that were made and lost, the men that almost climbed the mountain and then fell down the mountain, man. I mean, I'm telling you some crazy stories there. All right, that's it for tonight's show. We appreciate you guys hanging with us. We'll see you tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Don't forget the 17th of March. That's D-Day, baby, when we go to a 9 a.m. Pacific start on the new world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 9 a.m. Pacific, and it will be 12 noon Eastern. All right, we'll see you tomorrow night.